someone to Riverview today? Is this on? All right. This ain't, but this might be. If you know me, you know typical church kind of gets on my nerves. We are here to worship and praise and be transformed by Almighty God. Amen. Is that why you are here? I worry about church because it just kind of becomes this typical in and out. I went, give me a check mark thing. And to me, that's kind of worthless. I'm sorry. To me, that's kind of silly. But I want you to understand this morning that God Almighty has something that he wants to do in your life, your mind, your heart, your soul today. If the life is a mess, he's going to clean it up if you want him to. If the marriage is a mess, he'll clean that up if you want him to. If your professional life or your finances is a mess, he'll clean that up if you want him to. And I mean that wholeheartedly. And I think this is so important. Because folks, as the church, we're supposed to stand out and lead. I'll say it again because y'all missed it. As the church, we're supposed to stand out and lead. Amen. We're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to be the love. We're supposed to be the joy. We're supposed to be those people of peace. And this is very, very, very important. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, or it's up here. I really worry about the church of Jesus Christ. Because what I see is that the church of Jesus Christ has kind of turned in on itself. And instead of church and God being about the world we're supposed to impact, and I'm talking about Riverview too. I'm not talking about those people out there. They got enough to worry about. I'm talking about us too. I hope we'll listen today. Because there is this tendency, and we're stuck in it too, where it's all about us. Jesus, fix me. Jesus, do for me. Jesus, give me something new. Give me something. Give me, give me, give me. And that's not what Jesus was all about. Jesus was all about seeking and saving the lost. Amen. Okay? Jesus was all about dying for those to accomplish something that they could not accomplish on their own or for themselves. And I hear a lot of Christian people say, yeah, you know, I don't feel that freshness. I don't feel that fulfillment. That's because your religious life or Christian life, mostly religious life, has become about you. And your prayer life is about give me. Your church life is about do for me. And it's me and me and me. And I'm not here to condemn. My prayer is we'll kind of wake up and go, whoa, 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 yeah. That can happen. And it happens in my life. And what we're going to talk about today, I'm not just preaching at you, I'm preaching at myself. And this is very, very, very important. As you know, we've been in Genesis chapter 1 for a month or two. And we're getting to chapter 126 is about image. And then we talked about last week about ruling and subduing. I pray you heard that and understood that and went and lived that. Because I'm going to be honest, most people who call themselves Christians are very weak to me. Every influence of the world is too much for them. Every struggle is too much for them. People are too much for them. I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible says when I'm living in his image, I'm going to rule and subdue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This week it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful And I don't like the translation in the New International Version here. It says increase in number. Don't like that. Don't believe that's what it says. Looked it up in the Greek, and that's not what it says. Okay? What it says is you're to be fruitful and multiply. And if you remember a few weeks ago, I said, remember this point. When the animals and the vegetation was multiplying, they were multiplying according to their own kind. See, we Christians, the thing we've kind of lost is that we're supposed to be multiplying not only church. And I hear this all, oh, we're running. I don't care what you're running. Is God there? I'll say it again. I don't care what, how many people you have. Is God there? Amen. Is God transforming lives? And I hope he is. Okay? But the bottom line is that it's not about increasing in numbers. It's about multiplying what God has done in your life. How God has saved you. How God has set you free from that which was destroying you. How God has absolutely taken your life and he's using you in the lives of those people around you. And Christians, are you listening to me? You will never grow and develop, and you will never feel fulfilled in your Christian life until that is happening in and through you. You know, one of the things I've been praying about lately is when Jesus started preaching, the first thing he said was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And well, hallelujah, hallelujah. Right after that, he says, and I will make you fishers of men. And what he was saying there, he was talking to a bunch of fishermen. And what he was saying was, you're going to take who I created you to be, and you're going to take that out into a world, and you're going to impact people's eternal lives for me. And I'll ask you straight up, is that what you're about? Is that what you're doing? When you wake up in the morning, do you think about that? How can I impact that person at work today? How can I talk to somebody about the great things God is doing in my life today? Somebody please say amen and wake. Somebody wake up. All right? And I think this is so important. Be fruitful and multiply. I don't know how to get this rid of this emoji list here thing. Anybody know how to get? No, I'm just kidding. From creation, man's call and gifting involves multiplying himself. That kind of brings me to the point is, what's God doing in me? Let me ask you a question. With what God is doing in you, do you really want to multiply that? And I think that's very important for us to think about that. I really do. Multiplying himself or herself in our likeness. Listen to this. To purposely recreate what God has formed in me. I want you to think about that. If he has saved you and he has transformed you and he is making you new and he is doing something extraordinary and he's bringing healing to your mental life and healing to your emotional life and healing to your relational life. I don't know about you, but that's something I'd want to multiply in the people around me. Amen? You know, let me help you with this. If he's not, it's time for you to get actually saved. It's time for you to actually not only ask Jesus into your life, but give your life to Christ. Because one of the things the disciples did immediately was to leave their nets, the stuff of this world, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Have you left this world to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ? Or are you just kind of going to church when there ain't nothing better to do? Somebody say amen. I'm not just trying to be mean. We'll get to the good stuff. All right? But this is very important. The first thing you need to understand is fruit has seeds. Somebody told me one day, and I didn't know it, that a tomato is a fruit. I thought a tomato was a vegetable. Yeah, didn't you? Did anybody else? I thought it was a vegetable. Because it's not exactly as juicy and sweet as an apple. All right? But you know why tomatoes are fruits? Because they have seeds. They have seeds that could be planted and nurtured and grow up to be big apples. All right? And strawberries. I had to look this one up. Do you know strawberries was a fruit? I thought for it was, but then I went, I don't know, you know. I guess it's those seeds on the outside. I don't know, you know. But it's a fruit. God, in his salvation, has provided you and me seeds. I said, they missed it. God has provided you and me seeds. Amen. Now I want you to hear this. Those seeds need to be purposely and intentionally planted. You see, I'm a crazy man. Later on, sometime next year, we'll be talking about Genesis 2:15. And Genesis 2:15 talks about the fact that we are to cultivate the very world or garden that God placed us in. Here's my crazy idea. I believe it is God's will and intention for me to cultivate or bring his love and grace to every person in my world. Everyone. Oh, but I've got jerks for relatives. Me too. I've got jerks for friends. Me too. People around me are crazy. Me too. Okay? We could come up with all kinds of stuff. But folks, here's how I want you to think about it. If you're going to cultivate your world, what you're going to do is you're going to wake up and you're going to start praying. Because you're not going to do this on your own. One of the problems I see in what we call evangelism is too many think it's something they do. And it's not something you do. It's something that is done in and through you. Here's the cool part. You can plant that seed. And sometimes it doesn't take, okay? All right. But here's the cool part. When it does, you can help nurture that seed. And see that great eternal plant begin to grow in that person's life. And when you see people in and out of the church, there are some people in churches you need to protect people from. In and out of the church that are going to be impacting this person negatively, you kind of stand in the gap and you make sure that doesn't happen. Amen. It's very, very important. And the bottom line is you can nurture that seed. Here's the part that we've got to understand. We don't want to plant eternal seeds, the seeds that Jesus Christ has placed in our lives. We don't want to plant those seeds so that that seed can be nurtured so it constantly grows up to depend on me or us. Are you with me on this one? You want that seed to begin to sprout and grow up and become an independent, strong fruit of its own. And we Christians, we got to get, this is what we're all about. We're not about this. The show is great and it's fun. But the bottom line is, this is what we're all about. This is what we as Christians are supposed to be doing. The Holy Spirit is the one who invests in us the fruit or seeds necessary to be juicy and delicious. Anybody else? Do you ever have days where you're a jerk? Anybody? Where you just wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Does anybody know what I tell people that say that? Get back in the bed and roll off the other side. Okay? Enough. But I ask God, I don't know why I'm in a bad mood. I don't know why I rolled out on the wrong side. I don't know what somebody did or whether I had a bad dream. But the bottom line is, God, I would like for you to invest in me so that I can be that delicious fruit that every person in this crazy world is looking for. Amen? Is anybody with me? Okay. And we find those fruits through God's Holy Spirit, and they're called the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. Okay? And it's in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And let me listen to this. Could you imagine being filled with this? How effective you would be in impacting other people's lives? Love. Not our kind of love, his kind of love. Instead of waiting on everybody to love him before he did something for them, he loved us first and came and lived and died and rose again for me.
Amen.
Cool stuff, huh? You know? Excuse me. So we've got love. God's filling us with love. He's filling us with peace. Joy. Joy, now listen to this. Some people are like, well, you know, I'm just having a bad time, or I'm sick, or I'm this, or I'm that. Let me help you with something. In 1 Peter, it talks about the fact that God can fill you no matter what's happening in your life with a joy inexpressible and full of glory. Enough with the excuses. Peace. I find so few people have peace today. I find so few people have peace. And please don't blame that on God. Blame that on yourself. Because somehow, some way, we've kind of cut God off and we'd rather be upset. Somebody say amen. You know, he is peace. He absolutely has this great life ahead of us. He's in control. He knows what he's doing. He knows why he's doing it. He could give you peace no matter where you're at, no matter where you've been, no matter where you will ever be. Patience. Can I be honest with something? That ain't my best fruit. Anybody else? Patience, I don't know why. There's just something in me. I don't want God to do something. I want him to do it now. And I want it to be what I want. And if it ain't what I want, anybody else do this? I pout. Anybody? Huh? You know what I'm saying? Kindness. I was having a conversation with some ladies yesterday that were from my high school years. And we were talking about this whole kindness thing. The problem in the church, some people translate that as nice. Nice is neither a gift nor a fruit of God's Holy Spirit. Nice allows jerks to impact your life. You could be a jerk around me, and I love you, but you ain't impacted my life. Amen? You're not going to impact my wife. You're not going to impact my family. You're not going to come into my church and do things that shouldn't be done. You're not going to, because I'm kind, but I ain't nice. Does that make sense? You know, but think of all these things. I'll find it someday. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What a powerful thing. Then in John chapter 15, and when we need to hear this, and it's a promise and a warning. What it says is, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You will multiply. You will impact people's lives for Jesus Christ on an eternal level. Amen. Good? Amen? Okay? That's great stuff. But if you do not remain in me, now remain in me. Let me help you with that for a second. Remain in me means you get up in the morning and you get into his word. You read the Bible. You read it and you read it and you pray and you read it and you pray until God speaks to you. There is so much wimpy, sissy Christianity. Well, you know, I don't pray very much. Well, why not? It ain't hard. It's like talking to me. As a man, I don't listen much, but he does. You know, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch. Now, I want you to hear this. Because I'm afraid this is where a lot of typical Christian church people are. If you do not remain in me, you might go to church, but you're a branch that is thrown away and withers or dries up. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire. Let me ask you something. Are you in him? Is he in you? I didn't say you're perfect. There's no such thing. I didn't say you didn't have a bad day. If you start having bad months, you better, we probably need to talk. But you have those things, you know, you just do. But here's what I want you to understand is anytime you feel like, man, something's not right. Here's the cool part. God isn't like people. God is standing there 24/7. Come on back. Come on down. I love you. I always have, and I always will, no matter what. I still love you. Yes, you've been a dingbat, but I still love you. Amen? Yes, you've sinned, but I still love you. Let me tell you what he doesn't do, though. He doesn't make a hole in our head and pour it in. We have to come to him and say, God, will you please, please, please help me? Pastor, you know, I hear what you're saying, that, you know, I'm supposed to be impacting people's lives. But God, but Pastor, sometimes I feel unworthy to do that. We're all unworthy to do that. Amen? But Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Me either. When I was young, they used to teach us stuff like four spiritual laws and the Roman road and all these different things. And they were fine. I'm glad I've got them in my arsenal. But today is different. It's a different world today. If you're going to impact people's lives and you're going to tell them about Jesus, it's different. Because in the 60s, everybody just kind of stood there and smiled. Today, they'll tell you to get out of their face. Amen? It's different today. So today, we really need the grace and glory of the Spirit of God to guide us as we impact people's lives. There was this really tough guy in one of our churches, and he came to Jesus. He and his family, and they fell in love with Jesus. And he was a really tough guy. He's the type of guy that one guy had not paid him for a job he did. And so he took a backhoe and he lifted that man's house up off the foundation. And he said, I'll put this thing down when you pay me. And I'm like, he was that kind of guy. I mean, he was tough, you know. But he and his family started coming to the church, and he really loved the church, and he loved Jesus. But he didn't know a lot about Jesus. He didn't know a lot about the Word. And not long after he came to Jesus and fell in love with Jesus and started coming to the church, because he was a man and didn't like going to the doctor, and all God's women said, amen. He went to the doctor and found a big, nasty, mole-ish sort of thing. And the doctor found out very quickly that it was melanoma. And it had pretty much spread through his whole body. And I'll never forget, not long after that, I went into the hospital, and they had literally cut out, I don't know how many lymph nodes, and this dude was in pain. He was so much in pain, they was just shaking. And no matter how much medicine, I guess there comes a point where medicine doesn't work, you know? And they had given him some medicine, different things, but it wasn't working. And I'll never forget, the next morning I came in, and it was really weird. Something dramatic had happened. And I go in, and they're sitting there talking, and different ones were there. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "last night after you left," maybe that's the secret, "after you left, it was kind of like God took a warm blanket and spread it over us." And it was like something special had happened. And I never forget the whole hospital talking about this. You know, like, wow, you should have saw what happened. This man went from shaking to, then a few months later, we were supposed to have a baptism service. And he calls me up and he says, "Preach." He said, "I don't think I'm going to make it to the baptism service. Is there any way me and my family could be baptized tonight?" "Yeah, I'll make that happen." When I got there, there were hundreds of people there. I don't know how everybody found out. But my man, who had not walked in at least a month, got up out of that wheelchair, walked into the pool. I baptized he and his family. He got up, walked to the wheelchair, fell in, and died 2 days later. Folks, you should have been at the funeral. This man and what had happened to him had impacted the life of hundreds of people at this hospital. And you got to understand, at that baptism, there were big old motorcycle gang dudes there. And I mean, it was a different crowd than the normal church. You know? Amen's right. And there were just people talking about how this person had impacted their life. And here's the thing I want you to see. He didn't know a lot of Bible. He didn't even understand a lot of church stuff. He hadn't been a Christian long. But God took that man's life. Even though he was in pain and dying. And by God's strength and power and glory, he impacted in those few weeks, maybe a couple of months, he impacted hundreds of people for Jesus Christ. You see, too often we think, "I've got to be the one who is fruitful and multiplies." And what God is trying to say to us today is, man, quit focusing on yourself. It ain't about what you can do. I have people, "I don't know Bible like you, preacher." Listen, it ain't got nothing to do with it. I believe in reading the Bible. I believe in memorizing the Bible. I believe in praying. I believe in learning about God up and down and all around. But it ain't about you and who you are. And what you know. It's about you saying, "God, however, whenever you want to use me, I'm here. However you want to use me to impact the lives of those folk around me, no matter what condition they're in. Not even no matter what condition I may be in. Here I am. Use me. Flow through me. Bless me that I might be a blessing. Let's all stand. We're not going to sing. With everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, pastor with an uplifted hand, I want to be that person that God uses. I may not know the right things to say. I may not know when to say them. I may not be perfect. I may not be that person that knows everything and understands it. But I want my life to count. I want to go outside of this church and I want to take the love and grace of Jesus to a world that doesn't even begin to understand what I'm talking about. Put those hands back up if you want to be that person. God sees it. God sees it. God sees that. And he absolutely wants to use you today and this week. Because too often we think, well, someday. Someday never comes. But here I am, Christ. Use me. Father, you see the hands. Give us your glory. Flow in and through us. Praise your holy name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Go be used. Go be used.
Hey, thank you for watching, listening, and subscribing. Our hope is that this content will point to the person who can heal and transform your life. That person is Jesus. If you would like to learn more about him and how to become healthy in every area of your life, we would like to give you access to Right Now Media. This is the world's largest video streaming library of biblical resources and entertainment. It's completely free. We already paid this subscription for you. Scan the QR code if you're watching or find the link in the description below. Again, thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.